Let's go through every single package installed with a Linux install image. I'm going through the software included with Slackware, but these are all open source applications and libraries, so whether you're running Slackware like me, or Fedora, Debian, BSD, or even Mac or Windows, you can probably download, install, and try these on your computer. So chances are, you'll be able to learn something from this podcast. Let's get started. Starting out strong today with XProp. This is an introspective application that describes properties of a window to you. This is beautiful. I love this kind of thing. I've been saying it for episodes now. This is it. So yeah, I see a window in front of me. I get it. I know what it is. I should know what it is. I should know everything about it, right? But I don't. There's all kinds of like metadata about this that I just don't really know. So XProp, return. Now my cursor is a little crosshairs. I click on a window. Here's the Firefox window. And I get all kinds of information in my terminal. __net_WM_icon_geometry_cardinal_3320_4436. The opaqueness, the WM allowed actions atom, the KDE net WM frame strut, the KDE net WM activities. What activity is it on? That's great. WM hints. Client accepts input or input focus, true. Initial state is normal state. GTK theme variant, UTF-8 string, dark, and so on. It just keeps going. It even shows me, it renders the graphics of the icon for me in console. That's kind of fancy. Not exactly correctly sized. They're quite large, but still kind of cool. WM locale name string en_us.utf-8. I didn't realize that was what my locale was set to, and so on. It goes on and on like that with lots of information. I don't know how useful the information is on a daily basis, but this is definitely one of those things where if you're gathering information for whatever reason, whether it's for debugging or just out of idle curiosity, this gives you a bunch of information, and I really like that. I think that's just an important thing for a computer to be able to do, is describe to you your computing environment. Next up is XPYB. That's the name of the package. This is a Python package, as the name suggests, but sometimes it's deceitful. The PY doesn't always mean Python. In this case, it does. It's Python bindings for X. These are Python 2.7 bindings. 2.7 is not a current Python edition. That's been end-of-lifed. We are on Python 3 now, at the time of this recording. So I don't know if I would use these myself, but it's good to know that XPYB exist, and certainly you could use them, assuming they've been updated, which I bet they have. You could use them with like Python 3. I mean, obviously you could use these. I just wouldn't. I really would not do that because these are 2.7 and that is long ago end of life. I think it was end of life like in 2021 or something. It's been a while. Next up, this is a cool one. XR&R. This is reflect, rotate, and resize or something like that. XR&R. It's two R's for three R words, but who's counting? So XR&R is a way to just grab hold of your monitor or the picture within your monitor and adjust it. The most pronounced example of this, I guess, well, actually, first, you need to identify what screens you have available to you. So you do that just by typing XR&R. That's a lowercase x. XR&R, and it returns screen 0, minimum 8x8, current 1920x1080, maximum blah blah blah. So it's got a bunch of information about screen 0. DVI-D-0 is disconnected, and then HDMI-0 is connected. It's considered the primary screen, I guess. 1920x1080 plus 0 plus 0. Which is normal, left, inverted, right, x-axis, y-axis, I don't know what that means, 531 millimeters by 299 millimeters, don't know what any of that is, and then a bunch of specifications about, like, the resolutions available to me, and so on, and it goes on, it's DP0 is disconnected, DP1 is disconnected, HDMI1 is disconnected, so that's a pretty good report on what sort of I could use. Now, it is a little bit, maybe, almost, it's hard to read. Like, if you're not really thinking about it, like, what information is this? So, is the screen screen zero then? Is that what this is? This is screen zero, right? Well, no, this is screen zero, but this the thing that I'm actually dealing with is the one that is connected, which is HDMI-0. So to make HDMI-0 do funny things, I could do XR&R --display:0-output HDMI-0, and that's important, and then --rotate left. It goes black for a moment, and then it's the whole picture, my whole desktop is rotated left. Has been rotated to the left. I would have to turn my monitor 90 degrees in order to see this normally, which is maybe a really cool feature for you. Because if you think about paper, like an A4 paper or US letter size paper, they are longer than they are wide. And so if you're doing like page layout or something, this is brilliant. Like if you get one of those monitors that does like rotate to 90 degrees, you could use XR&R to say, okay, for this screen, HDMI-0, I want this to be rotated left or right, whichever way you want to rotate your physical screen. And it'll do it. And then you can use your monitor in a weird sort of taller than it is wide orientation. To get back out of that problem or solution, you can do --rotate normal normal. That'll get you back to normal. You can't don't do rotate right. That just rotates it right from normal. So normal is the correct way. --inverted, I think, is upside down. Yep, that's upside down. Boy, do I regret that now. Let's see. Normal. Yeah, there we go. That wasn't that bad. Okay, so that's XR&R. I mean, and there's a bunch of other stuff it can do. Like, really, you can scale, you can resize it, you can give it a little bit of an offset, you can edit the screens that it's aware of, and you can adjust gamma through this as well. So there's a brightness, there's a bunch of stuff you can do with XR&R. It's a real powerhouse of just what you see on your screen. You want to modify that? XR&R is probably your first stop, at least, you know, outside of like system settings and things like that. But if you're not running something with a good system settings, like with good options, XR&R is the way to go. And even if you are, frankly, XR&R can be useful. It can be scripted, of course. It's handy. It's just right there in the terminal. All the options are listed in the man page. The two things to remember about XR&R is that, first of all, XR&R with no arguments gives you a little report on what you have to choose from. Don't get overwhelmed. Just look for the things that are connected and zero in on the string to the left of the word connected. That's the name of that output. The display, of course, is the display. I mean, that's your display. On Linux, generally, your display is :0. I don't know why they put the colon there. I guess because it's like localhost :0. So I don't know, but it's :0 unless it isn't. Like if you've launched a Zephyr session, sure, you'll remember that from the previous episode, then that would, and you've assigned it :1, and you want to adjust that with XR&R, then you're going to be targeting :1 display. If you're SSH'd in and you've set your offset to 10 in SSHD config, you'll remember that from a couple of episodes ago, then you would be targeting that particular display. So it just, it depends. You know, you need to know your own display. The best way, I guess, to get that generally is probably echo display. That tells you :0. But you can also do export with no arguments, pipe that to grep for the word display, and you'll see that there as well. So that's two different ways to get your display. So with XR&R, you're doing --display:0-output, the name of the connected output, HDMI-0 in my case. But if I'd had two monitors, both plugged into HDMI, then it would be HDMI-0, or it could be HDMI-1, depending on which one I want to modify. And then --whatever you want to do. And then, like I said, there's a bunch of different, and those the other options need to come after output. So it's display, output, and then something else. You can, the mnemonic for me, do, display, output, do what? Well, here's my options, rotate left or adjust the gamma and so on. So that's XR&R, a great application. Definitely make use of that if you need it. Next up is xrdb. I actually use this command, not often, but I do have to use it if I change the settings in urxvt, my non-console terminal of choice. So there are X resource, resource values, properties, whatever. It's a resource database, I guess, because, I mean, after all, XRDB. And there are things that I guess get loaded, you know, through .x resources, essentially. Or rather, that's what .x resources is targeting, the RDB, or XRDB. If you want to see what values are currently loaded in your RDB or your XRDB, whatever it is, you do XRDB dash query, and you get a pretty quick dump of all the stuff that you've got set. You may not have that much set. You might just have like xft.antialias, xft.hinting, which I don't remember setting myself, so I'm assuming these are auto-loaded values or default values. What I also have, though, are a bunch of urxvt values, urxvt asterisk background colon bracket 90, a hash 000000, so it's black. Urxvrt bold font, and then I define the font that I want. And urxvt depth 32, and so on. It goes on like that forever. I don't even remember how I found out about all of these resources. And that is, of course, the classic problem, right? Like, how do you know what resources you can assign to an application so that you can then, like, you know, change your applications? Like, who's telling you all of this? And I mean, I literally don't remember how I found out about URXVT's possible. I'm assuming just, you know, how we all find out about anything anymore. You just look it up online. But how do those people find out about it? That's the puzzle, isn't it? Like, people just find things, and I just can't figure out, like, how do you know? But those are the resources, and I don't know where they come from, and I don't know how to find out new ones. Which is weird, right? Because, I mean, we do know that there are things like view res and edit res and you know, all these things that'll list resources and stuff, but it doesn't all seem to quite match up with each other. It's just there's no, the interstitial tissue is missing, I feel like. But that's not RX or XRDB's fault. That's just the way it's all being communicated or not communicated. So to run, when I run our XRDB, it is to merge whatever I've just put in .x defaults into the system XRDB, I guess. So if I open up my .x defaults file, I've got all of these fancy settings for URXVT in here. Yes, and that's confirmed. I do not have those XFT values at the bottom, so those must be preset outside of my awareness. And then I've got a note in here, a little comment. To change font size, do so here, then run xrdb-merge .x defaults. So that's how I use it. That's what I use xrdb for. You may not have a reason to use XRDB. I mean, it is kind of limited to a specific set of applications that respect like X resources or X defaults. And in fact, it says, let's see, XRDB does not load any files on its own, but many JS environments use XRDB to load X resources files on session startup to initialize the resource database as a generalized replacement for X defaults. Oh, I guess I shouldn't be using X defaults. Whatever. Anyway, that's XRDB. You can do things like dash git and then the name of it, you know, a key name so that you can get the value. You can obviously merge. You can remove a value from your resource database and things like that. I mean, it's a little tiny database. I don't even know if you can add. I couldn't find an option to add something manually to it. I mean, I thought I found it with dash D name equals value, but I don't believe that's it. That was the closest thing, but then once I really read up on it, it didn't seem close at all. So I'm not sure that you can do that. I think really the expectation is that you're setting values in a file and then merging that file or the values from that file into your X resources database. Next package is X refresh. It does exactly what you imagine it would do. It refreshes your screen. That's all it does. So you can just type in X refresh and your screen refreshes. I guess I didn't see it. So I think it may have happened so fast that I didn't notice. It's also kind of hard to intentionally sort of screw up your screen. So it could just be that it knew that it didn't need to refresh. I'm not sure. You can also do things like X refresh space dash white to flash to white, or dash black to flash to black. Again, I'm not seeing any of this, so I just don't exactly know. You could also do dash solid and then like green or blue or cyan or whatever. Those are all options. But as I say, I don't see it happening. You can do dash root as well to use your window background as the flash point. I'm not seeing it, so I don't know that it is actually doing what it is claiming to do, but maybe if my screen was severely sort of damaged from bad draws and things like that, I would see it. I don't know. But it's something to keep in mind, because I have sometimes wondered about that. Never knew there was such an easy way to do it. Just X refresh. There you go. X scope is next. That's the X window protocol viewer. This sits between the X11 client and an X11 server and prints the contents of each request, reply, error, or event communicated between them. I couldn't get this one to actually give me any response. I couldn't get an error out of it either, which is that's the point of real frustration, right? It seems to be working, but it's just not doing the thing that it advertises. So apparently you're supposed to do X scope and then the display, which for whatever reason you don't define as you do anywhere else. So it's not dash display, it's not dash dash display, and it's not colon zero ever. So it's just dash D and then the number after the colon. So not colon zero, just zero. Weird. And then dash I for the port being used. This is offset by 6,000. So I think the default apparently is 6,001. I don't actually know, but that's what the man page is kind of hinting at me. And then I did dash V for verbose, and I put 5 for the most verbose. 0 is quiet, 5 is the most verbose you can possibly be. I hit return, no error. It's not giving me back my prompt, so I'm assuming I'm in some kind of interactive mode, and there is an interactive mode that you can start with dash capital I. So that's what I'm kind of assuming. I'm clicking, I'm moving windows. Is there something else that I'm supposed to be doing? Like, what kind of events? It sounded like a lot of events. So, okay, control C. Oh, wait, now I've got a prompt. So now I'm in interactive mode, I think. So what kind of interactive options do I have? Let's type in help. Okay, there's audio, break, continue, delete, disable, enable. Well, all right, let's enable. Enabling all breakpoints. This is sounding like a debugging application to me. Okay, step. I don't know. What are we doing? What are we measuring? Was I supposed to launch an application with Xscope or something? Okay, so I'll control C again. Nope, that doesn't get me out of this application. Okay, how do I quit? Oh, Q for quit. Okay, perfect. Okay, or control D actually, but I'm pretending like I've never been here before. So, okay, so that was the first attempt and obviously didn't work. Let's try all of that again, but with X eyes as a trailing argument to see, no, that doesn't work. Okay, what if instead we go X eyes, pipe it to Xscope? Does that work? It doesn't not work. So if I do control C, no, that just actually exits. Okay. So control D, no, control C just exits. So now I can't get back into like Xscope apparently. So I'm confused as to the intended use case here. There are examples. For instance, Xscope verbose 4 host Clio. I would obviously replace that. Dash D for, what was that? That was the display 0-0-I1. So that's that supposedly, whatever, the input, the port. That's the word I'm looking for. Dash O output port. Oh, maybe that's what I'm missing. Okay, let's try that. All right, let's just get rid of the host. I think it should just default to my current host, as I understood it. Okay, this is not working either. So again, no response. I'm clicking, I don't know, I'm doing things that I feel like maybe if I change virtual desktops, maybe if I don't know, open a window or a new window, no. So nothing's happened. So I can't get any output from this really. No matter what I do, I've tried a couple of different ways, and maybe I'm just not understanding exactly what kind of events. I mean, it says prints the contents of a request, reply, error, or event. So I would have thought that at the very least, XEyes would have been providing some feedback to XScope. I guess I could try running XScope one more time and then switching to a different tab. So just XScope, and then I'm going to switch to a different tab and go XEyes, and then take a look back at this tab. Is there anything changing here? No. It feels very much like, yeah, like nothing. It doesn't feel like anything's happening here. So, yep, couldn't get that one to work. Don't know what I'm doing wrong, and I also don't exactly still understand what I'm supposed to expect, which is troubling, because then you don't know what to even look to try to fix. So, oh well, so much for XScope. It seems to be some kind of reporting or debugging application, but I don't know how to get it to work. And we're back with coffee. I never even said we were going to go on a coffee break. I just realized that. Oh, well, I guess you got the idea. I was pretty frustrated by XScope, to be honest. It was kind of difficult. I have finally opened up my B2 coffee. It's great. This is a classic. This is one of the first ones that I ever had. It's quite good. Anyway, next in line is the XSet application. This is a settings application for X. So I imagine, or you might imagine, that there would be no control panel for X11, the environment. There would have been no system settings. So I guess this is probably the way people adjusted. I guess, I don't know what kind of weird settings these count as, but it's things like turning off an audible bell, for instance. Now, again, today, you'd probably just do that with system settings. You just go in there, knock that out. And that's not something that you could have done, because you wouldn't have access to that back when this was, you know, probably more actively being used. So XSet is easy to use, bad at being understood. This kind of thing really annoys me. So XSet space S space off. That's a valid command. What do you suppose that would mean? I mean, you might know what it means, but like, how would you know what that is? Well, you'd have to look in the man page. You'd have to look for the single letter S. I wonder if that appears at all. Oh, yes, it does. It appears in the very first line of the man page, and then on practically every other line afterwards. Anyway, S, eventually you'd find out, okay, S is how I turn off a screensaver, which, I mean, I guess that would be X screensaver. I don't really know. I don't use a screensaver. Haven't used one in a while, so I'm not really up on my screensavers. There's also P that controls the pixel color value. R controls auto repeat. And these settings you can do with like a minus or a plus to kind of toggle them on or off as well. If you want to disable the audible bell, like, I don't know what would have set the bell on, I guess, and maybe you have to, it would be XSet B, or XSet, I guess, B. XSet B on. Yeah, okay, you can do on, you can do off, you can do a dash. And actually, it doesn't say the plus, so I'm not sure if you can use plus. Here's the plus. Yeah, I knew I saw the plus somewhere. There's an option to do dash DPMS that disables your Energy Star features, like, I don't know what the Energy Star features are these days, but probably like auto suspend or auto blanking your screen. You can also do just X set plus DPMS to re-enable the Energy Star settings. I could imagine wanting to do that under like some circumstances where maybe you need the thing to stay, you know, the screen to stay on while you're, I don't know, debugging something over on another computer, or I don't know, I guess a video player should keep it from auto blanking, right? But if it didn't, then you could disable DPMS this way. So that seems pretty useful. The next package is xsetroot, which is similar. It's settings for your root window. The root window on an X server being really your desktop. Like that's the stuff that you see, that's the root window. Remember when I was messing around with XNest and Zephyr and even XVFB, I guess technically, they kind of create this other root window. I mean, XVFP didn't, but XNest and Zephyr did. It embedded a new sort of sub-root window within your display. So the settings that you could change for your root window would be things like -BG. That is adjusting the background color of your desktop. Really, -FG, the foreground. So that would change the foreground color, I guess, for like your cursor or a bitmap or something like that. You can reverse it, -RV to reverse the foreground and background colors. That's weird. That wouldn't invert things, would it? Maybe that would invert things. Maybe that's what that is. -cursor name, that is what cursor font name you, wait, cursor font? I guess they call cursor, I thought it was called cursor themes. There's a package called cursor themes, but maybe they call them cursor fonts. I don't know. And -cursor, you can adjust what cursor you're using, and so on. So a lot of this, I mean, you're really, really not going to see this on a modern desktop because that's just not what you're using. Really, you're using a desktop environment that has its own cursor themes and its own wallpaper setting and so on. But I mean, if you do a start X and you have a really bare minimum setup for your window manager, then yeah, you could probably use these and actually see results with many of them. So that's good to know about, I guess, in that case, xsetroot. Okay, next one we've kind of already talked about. This is XSM for session management. So this is the thing that lets X11 have awareness of like a login session, like when you log in and when you've logged out, what applications were running, and even like what applications you want to auto start. And there's even the notion a little bit of like activities, like Plasma Desktop has activities that I'm supposed to be using. People are supposed to use this, but I don't know of people who do. But it is a cool idea. I just never get around to actually utilizing it. But it's this idea that you might have different sort of personas, even you're just one person, but you have different personas of a computer user. So for instance, you're at your computer, you're at home, you want to use this set of applications. You're at your computer, you're at work, you have a completely different set of applications that you are using, and when you switch activities, or in this case sessions, you can take sort of a snapshot of the state of those applications, put them away, go to a different session, and now you're in a different world. When you're done with that, you take a snapshot, put those away, go back to your old session, it restores you back where you left off. So really cool stuff. I just functionally I'm not entirely sure that that's how we use our computers these days. And maybe it's not ever how people used their computers. Maybe that was just an idea. I don't know. Either way, you can see all of this in action. The easy way to do this, I guess, is start to run level 3 on Slackware and do XWM and choose like something simple like Fluxbox. Then go into your .xinitrc that has just generated for you, and change Fluxbox to XSM. Both instances of Fluxbox. There will be two. There's a if-then statement. So change Fluxbox to XSM, and then save that, and then do start X, and then you've started an XSM session. Now you're in TWM. What do you do? you'll notice that you've got a wireframe window that you need to place somewhere. So you place that somewhere, and that's the XSM default window. There's four buttons here: client list, session log, checkpoint, and shutdown. And then you're immediately presented with another window that you have to place down, and that's an Xterm. So do that, and then you're good to go. Okay, so now you've got you're in a session right now. You can click client list to see what you are running. You're running SM proxy, you're running Xterm, and you're running TWM. There is a place here to list non-session clients that you want to launch, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say that I'm done here. I'm going to launch. It doesn't know my Dvorak keyboard on this virtual machine. XVT, and then ampersand, I guess. So there's my, I got to place it. Okay, so I've got a URXVT session here. And what other, I guess X eyes. Let's do X eyes, ampersand. I told you that it was important to have demo applications. Okay, so now client list. Yeah, everything looks client or session aware to me. So I'm going to do checkpoint. I'm going to name this session, I guess, demo. I'm going to save it locally. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to save both. I don't know what that means. Local or global. Interact style, any checkpoint. Yeah, sure. Checkpoint. Okay, cool. So the following applications did not report a successful save. XEyes and URXVT. You're kidding me. Neither of those are session aware. I don't believe it. Okay, save type local. How's that? Checkpoint. No, still none. I'm shocked. So neither URXVT or XEyes are session aware. What about XClock? Surely XClock is session aware. Yes. Okay. So XClock saved successfully in my session. Of course, XClock is dependent on URXVT, so that's going to be interesting. I mean, it's not natively dependent. It's just that's where I launched it from, and I forgot to do an ampersand, so I don't know. Will it be able to handle that? We'll find out. Okay, so I have just shut down. Well, they call it shut down. It's not a real shutdown. It's just shutting down that session. So now I'll start X again, and I'm presented with an option of which session I would like to load. Currently, I only have the one, and it's called demo. I could, I don't know how to not load a session. I guess you have to load a session. If a session exists, you have to pick a session. That's interesting. I assumed there would be a place where I could start a new session, but I guess that's not how it works. And it did not work. That X session completely just crashed. Yep. And now I can't get back into it. Okay. No, I can. There just off screen, because the menu was so wide that it wasn't fitting on the screen. Just off screen, there was a button ending in FE. So I assumed that was like safe mode. And so I clicked that. And yes, now I have a fresh session. But I gotta say, that doesn't necessarily inspire me to, I'll call this demo one, checkpoint, shutdown. Shutdown immediately. Let's try this one more time. This is not inspiring though. Again, the menu is off screen, so I'll just double click on something and it crashes. Okay, so XSM is clearly not functioning on Slackware 15. The theory was that it would be that it would open to the previous session with all the applications open in the state that they had been open previously. Clearly doesn't work. Next up is X standard color map, or XSTDCM. Well, map. This is basically a compiler of sorts, and so color maps in X11 are defined as color maps, color map atoms, ATOMS. You'll recall that from a couple of episodes ago. We could list atoms, XLS atoms. So color maps consist of atoms, and they are used by the X standard color map structure, which defines a color as like type. You have to create them as structs. You create a color map type, and then you provide the colors within that map. So unsigned long red max, unsigned long red malt, unsigned long green max, green malt, blue max, blue malt, base pixel, visual ID, and so on. You can have something like, what is it, 216 colors or something like that, which is kind of weird. I would have thought it would have been 255, but maybe there's some other math that I'm not thinking about. Either way, you then allocate the color map to your application. So there are color maps defined in code. I don't know how to change them or whether you can define them or like change them dynamically or whether they're hard coded. It feels like because there are resources that you can edit, like edit resource, I imagine you could change the color map, but maybe not. So I'm not really, I have an image in my mind of how to create the color map, because you're literally just coding it. And I have an image in my mind of how to use the color map in your application. I'm just not sure whether there's sort of any level of abstraction where you can say, yeah, I see that you're using that defined color map, but I'd rather you use this one. That's the part that I don't exactly know about. But this command, this one command that there's not really that much to talk about, X standard color map, it is a utility that can be used to selectively define standard color map properties. It is intended to be run from a user's X startup script to create standard color map definitions in order to facilitate sharing of scarce color map resources among clients. And that's the part that confuses me. Up until that phrase, I thought, okay, well, this is how you dynamically change a color map. You just define it as a user. You create your own color map, and then you use X STD CMAP, and you've now changed the map, right? But then how do you assign it to a specific application? Is this a session thing that you do? Like, what is this? And then it says something about sharing scarce color map resources, and that confuses me further, because I don't know what a scarce color map resource is. Are colors in a shortage right now? Is this part of the recession? Like, what's going on? So I'm not entirely sure of how that application is used, and there's not enough information here for me to understand. Like, I can run it, but nothing happens. I can delete a map, I guess, but I don't know what maps are available, and there's no apparent way to list the color maps. You can list the properties with X, what's this command? X STD CMAP. That's just the worst name ever. Dash all, I think it is. No, even that doesn't do anything. Oh, that's weird. I thought that did something. I thought that listed. I'm almost sure that did something before. Oh, okay. No, that's not. That's the help screen. That's what I got before. XSTD CMAP with no arguments gives you a help screen, which, again, it gives you a bunch of options, like not even that much. I mean, eight options. All best, blue, default, delete, display, gray, green, red, verbose, inversion. That might be more than eight, but I don't know what to do with that. That just doesn't tell me anything. So yeah, very confusing little command. And that's all the package contains, is the command in the man page, which tells you basically nothing. Again, I did go to the X11 online documentation. I read up about X color maps. That's why I know that it's a struct defined in C code. I mean, like, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with this information. Let's move on to a happier command. This is Xterm. Xterm is, I mean, come on, X11 and Xterm. What could be, I think Xterm is probably the most recognizable other application within X11, aside from X11, the server, or Zorg, I guess, is what it's really called. So Xterm is a classic terminal because it's really old and it just keeps popping up on computers no matter whether you want them or not. I mean, generally speaking, I think most people avoid Xterm because it is just a very basic terminal. But it's not as basic as you think. It's just very, very neglected in terms of, you know, kind of making it into something cool. You can actually, I mean, it's got support. It's Xterm, like, 256. It's got support for lots of colors. You can theme this, not with XTD CMAP, But you can theme this with X resources or X defaults and a little bit of work, and not even that much work. So you can put into your X defaults file or X resources, I guess, X term asterisk background colon RGB colon, and then some color value. So that would be your, what did I say, background. Then you could do X term asterisk foreground colon RGB colon, and then some color. X term asterisk color 0, and on and on. And you can even do your cursor color. So, and you have blinking options as well. All of these are options that you can have within with an X term. Now, the easier way to do this, rather than trying to devise your own theme, is to steal someone else's from the internet. And there is a really, really good post, which I will definitely put in the show notes, on futural.net back in 2016. There's an X term dash 256 color themes, Molokai terminal theme. So Molokai, I guess, is like a theme for Vim that someone created. I guess the author of this speaks about it as if though it's well known. So I guess maybe Vim users know it. I don't know. But it's slightly solarized, you know, a little bit muted, but still high contrast. I quite like, if that's two things that you can have. I quite like the look of it. And there's a surprising number of options that you just don't think about in Xterm, because most of us have seen Xterm as a white terminal with black text that just pops up when you don't have any other terminal installed for some reason. So Xterm can be very cool. You just have to configure it. You have to take a little time to set up your X resources or X default file. And then, of course, to make them work, you do xrdb-merge and then the path to your either your X default or your X resource file. As I say, you can change the cursor color. So you got Xterm asterisk pointer color, Xterm asterisk pointer color background, Xterm asterisk cursor color, and Xterm asterisk cursor blink, either true or false. It's brilliant. It's really cool. Now, that doesn't, you know, color, a new color theme and a font size maybe. Where's the font size? I should look that up. Hold on. This is Emacs in this folder here, dot, no, that's not it. Oh no, it's in my home folder. That's, of course it is. It's X defaults. There we go. There is a font size thing. Yeah, Xterm, no, that's Xterm. I don't know where the font is. Oh, yes, I do. Okay. Xterm asterisk font colon XFT colon, the XFT being the font, one of the two font way, the ways that X11 understands fonts, and then give it the path or the name of a font that you like, colon pixel size equals 18 colon anti-alias equals true. And now you've got a new font, or you have the normal font. There's also bold font, italic font. I think that's it. So then, xrdb-merge x defaults or whatever you've put that those settings into, and you've got a nice new looking Xterm window. As I say, that doesn't mean that you've got like a modern terminal though, right? Well, you kind of still do. I mean, like you've got Xterm respects all of the keyboard shortcuts that you're used to in your traditional editor, either Emacs or Vim. If you go down the Vim route, I don't know how to do that, because I just use the default bash shortcuts. But yeah, you could do that. And then on top of that, you've got cool technologies like GNU Screen or TMUX to really make this terminal something that is truly functional, because now you have essentially a tabbed interface. Now, I would be remiss to omit that I don't use Xterm myself. For as much as I wanted to defend it, I don't use it. I use URXVT because that has some cool Perl extensions that you can use to give it a true tabbed interface. And it's just really, really fluid. It's just really a nice terminal. So if you If you want to go a little old, but not as old as X-Term, check out URXVT, sometimes also called RXVT-Unicode, because that's obviously the fork that supports Unicode. So that's a really nice, that's a nice terminal. I quite like that one. And I will post my URXVT configuration file on the site so that you can look at that if you want. But X-Term, I mean, it's surprisingly, you know, it's like, oh, X-Term, it's such an ancient looking terminal. Well, it is, but it doesn't have to be, and it is still a terminal. It's very, very functional. Okay, next up is X-Trans. I don't have a whole lot to say about this. It is an X-Transparency, X-Network Transport layer. So it's a bunch of libraries to help to sort of handle the network protocol in a modular fashion so that it can be used by the X server itself, by libx11, by libice, the X font server, which we finally got to work at some point, and so on. So it's just a library for networking. And in a thing like X11 that has such a robust awareness of network, I guess I'm really downplaying it, but in a way, I mean, what more can you say? It's a network for library stuff. Let's talk about XVidTune. This is a way supposedly to adjust your video display, like the thing that you're looking at. You can do XVidTune --show for the current mode line. So that's the configuration essentially, the configuration, but also just kind of like what you're using right now. So in my virtual machine, it's 1024x768, 65.00. What's that, the refresh rate or something? I don't know. 1024, 1048, 1184, 1344. I don't know what any of those numbers are, and there's no context here. So thank you very much, XVidTune. You can also just type in XVidTune, return, and you get a graphical interface. And a big warning sign, like a huge warning sign that won't even let you use anything until you agree. It says, the incorrect use of this program can do permanent damage to your monitor and or video card. If you're not sure what you're doing, hit cancel. Okay, so I think that was only true for, you know, like back when monitors could like fry themselves because you put in weird settings. So I don't think, certainly for a virtual machine, I have much to worry about. So I'm just going to hit apply because I wanted to see this error message here that says, sorry, you have requested a mode line that is not possible or not supported by your hardware configuration. Acknowledged. Okay, well, that's weird because this is the mode line setting that it claims I am currently using. I have not made a change. I've just tried to apply literally the thing that it says that I am using. So I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do with this application, but presumably maybe if I had older hardware or maybe physical hardware that I wanted to do this on, maybe that would make it different. I'm not going to do that with my on my workstation because I really don't want to. I'm not afraid of my monitor blowing up, but I am afraid of like messing up my main work machine. I don't want to do that, so I'm not going to try it. But XVidTune apparently would have helped me improve my video settings had I let it, but I won't. XVinfo. This prints out the XVideo extension adapter information. This is one of those introspective commands. I mean, it's going to give you a lot of information. You can pipe it through less to see everything about screen 0, adapter 0, NV17 video texture, number of ports 32, port base 408, depth, visual ID. Yeah, lots of information. It looks to me about the color settings or the color capabilities, like type YUV packed, type YUV planar, and so on. So I'm not really 100% sure really what this information is, but I mean, obviously the XVideo extension uses this information, or maybe it's produced this information. So if you need to know that, this is the way to find it out. And then finally, this is it. This is the final package in this folder. This is all of the X's, like actually all of the X's. I mean, technically there's one after this, but we've already talked about that. That was XWUD, which was the whole XWD, XPR screenshot utility. So this is the actual final one. This is X WinInfo. It's window information utility for X. It's a utility to display information about Windows. So X WinInfo, hit return. Your cursor turns into a little crosshair, and you click on the window that you want to find out more information. This is great. This is cool information. It gives you all kinds of stuff. It gives you the window ID 0x780007. It even tells you the name of the window. It's console. That's what's in the title bar. Absolute upper left is in 457. Absolute upper Y is 85. Absolute upper or relative upper left is 0. Relative left is or Y is 0. Width 1161. Height 783. Depth 32. And so on. It goes on for not too long. It's not even a screen full. But I mean, that is just such wonderful information. I love this kind of stuff because I mean, I don't know. What if I really, really liked the size and placement of this console window? How could I find out all the details? I mean, I can turn on a thing in Plasma Desktop that'll show me that information, but you kind of have to wiggle the window a little bit to prompt it to provide you with that information. So the minute you move it, then it's no longer what you had. So just being able to click on a window and get this kind of information, I just love it. I don't know if I'm ever going to use it, but I love that that capability is here. And that is it. That is everything. That's really actually all of the X folder. We are out of the X folder now. Next episode, we're going to be in XAP, which are X applications, which I think implies mostly graphical applications. There may be one or two exceptions in there, but mostly these are graphical applications or at least applications with a graphical component. I mean, technically some of these X ones did too, but they're X applications, applications that rely on X. It's going to be great fun. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. My name's Klaatu. You can reach me anytime over email with feedback or comments, tips, or just to say hi. My email address is klaatu@slackermedia.info. You can also reach me on the Mastodon network, not Klaatu, at mastodon.xyz. The show's intro and outro music is by Fat Chance Lester. You can find their music on bandcamp.com or on gnuworldorder.info. In the archive, you'll find a music directory containing the album from which this music has been extracted. Until next time, thanks for listening and keep the source open.
Please, I'm afraid I couldn't stand it.